outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
Another long holiday weekend is over, and you regale us with tales of woe. You did too much yard work, too many projects, too much running around, but you didn't get enough rest.
Gee, you never worked that hard around here.
Really, man, we don't care.
And need a break from your whining, yeah.
So the next time the martyr of the mini vacation shows up late and says, I need another long weekend to recover from my long weekend, don't strangle. Instead, salute Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor, a real American hero.
Mr. Three-Day Weekend Survivor.
No, it's not Friday yet, you slacker.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Tuesday. It's October 12th. Nice to be back in the studio after 3 days off. Kira is yawning already. What happened this morning?
What do you mean? What happened?
I don't know. You look like very tired. You probably didn't put any makeup on or anything.
I have makeup on. Thank you very much.
You do? Okay.
It's just called being tired. Thank you, Sam.
No, I mean, after the makeup you put on Friday night, wow.
Oh, yeah, I had a fake eyelashes.
It seems like you don't have anything. Those were some eyelashes, let me tell you. They look like wings.
They're fun, huh?
Yeah.
I know that's not your style, but I love fake eyelashes.
Really? Do people like that?
I don't wear it to a picnic. I thought it was going to be more like a club dance. If you're in dark lighting and you're like in a club, it's fantasy. It's fun.
Yeah.
If you're walking around and there's like normal lighting, it's not a good look.
No.
It's for a fantasy look. It was really fun though. Weren't those fun?
Yeah.
They're cool. They had jewels on them, guys.
Yeah. I don't know. If I met you for the first time though, I think you're kind of weird for wearing them. You know?
Well, Sam, you're kind of an old school kind of guy, too.
I guess.
So you don't really get with the hip
stuff. You mean I'm old. That's what you're trying to say. But
I said
that's
old
fine.
School.
We already know how you feel. That's fine.
Old school. So, yeah, there's a void here today.
What's the void?
It's called a laptop that used to sit in front of me.
Oh, that's right. Tell us what happened to your laptop.
Well, my house got broken into, my car. A.K.A. my car.
Oh, okay. The place where you live most of the time. Okay.
It got broken into. I, you know, it's one of these things where I have guitars, I have a laptop, I never leave them in my car.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a hassle, even if I'm just going to be somewhere, I usually always take it with me. And something was off this day. I was running around doing errands, and I ran to a CVS, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. drugstore. And I felt like something was shady McShades. Something was going down in this parking lot, but I don't know if I had like a malaise of fog over me. I just wasn't thinking. And I pulled in 10 minutes, left my laptop in the front seat, like stupid. And something was weird. It felt weird too, but it didn't click. You know that mm-hmm. not clicking in thing? You know, it just didn't.
You weren't aware of the fact you left it on the front seat? You weren't thinking about it?
I don't know. I kind of let down my guard and I just wasn't feeling stressed about it. And I thought, oh, it's 10 minutes. Anyway,
it
was to go buy those damn lashes that ended up costing me $1,500 because
wow.
that's how much this laptop was.
Wow.
You know, it's a really nice Mac laptop with all editing software and cool stuff on it. And anyway, long story short,
so you're not stuck without a computer.
Yeah, I don't have my computer right now.
Wow.
And it's funny because I left and then I went to Trader Joe's grocery store. And then it wasn't until I went to Trader Joe's because they actually busted out a really tiny little window in the back, not a big window. And they went through that and unlocked the door. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't even notice it until I went to Trader Joe's. And, you know, it was so funny because I have this thing where if I'm in like a parking garage or stairwell, I'll sing like crazy because it resonates and echoes. So I was leaving Trader Joe's and I was really into like this song that's like really dramatic. And I was like, holding back the years. And I'm like walking in the stairwell, I mean in the parking garage, and I'm kind of playing out my own MTV video, getting really into it, and then it's like really dramatic, and I look over and I see my windows busted.
Wow.
And it's like I had the perfect soundtrack for the way it all went down. I was like, nah, when I ran over and it was gone.
Wow,
and I
that was pretty shocking.
Shucked
huh?
my fists at the sky, and then yeah. I went back. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I was like, it's such a cheesy, skeezy part of town that this little CVS was at,
mm-hmm.
and they happened to not have any cameras in that intersection, yeah. you know, the city doesn't. And the CVS is like, yeah, well, our cameras really only reach to this area, not the whole parking lot. And I'm mm-hmm. like, you guys are a-holes, man.
Oh, so now you're blaming them.
Well, I kind of am because, you know, if you're going to have if you're going to have security guards or you're going to have, like, security systems, why shouldn't they work? Shouldn't they actually span?
They're more of a deterrent, but, you know, apparently
yeah, well,
it didn't work.
Apparently they're not deterring much. It sounds like it's all cosmetic and decorative.
Yeah.
You know, and then I went to the police station, and they're like, yeah, we don't have any cameras at that intersection. And I'm like, you know that's a skeezy intersection. It's almost like they're like, yeah, it's real bad. We don't even want to know what goes on there. Yeah, don't put cameras. Let's just don't put cameras there.
Okay, well, the responsibility is yours. I hate to tell you that.
Oh, thank you, word of wisdom. Like, I didn't know that. Duh.
No, well, I mean, you are blaming the cameras.
No, I'm just saying it's not, it's faulty. It's not effective.
Okay.
And yeah, that's irritating. when you let your guard down, I'm not blaming anybody, but I am
right.
saying if you have a product or you have a service and it doesn't work, yeah, it's a little irritating when you need it to work. He's like, yeah, our cameras only go this far, which was like an inch in front of the, mm-hmm. the door.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so they'll modify them for Kira Kimbrough. No problem.
Well, they
problem.
Should just do it for their service, for
right.
their customers.
Uh-huh.
They should, if
yeah.
they're going to say they have a security system.
Okay. All right. Well, lodge in a complaint and let's see.
Log in.
No, lodge in
Is
a complaint.
Is it lodge?
Yeah.
I thought it's log.
Lodge it in.
Oh, he just did his fist, you guys, like pushed it in. Okay,
yeah.
Lodge it in. Okay, I thought
yeah.
it was log.
No, it's not log.
Well, I'll log it in.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm tired today.
You are tired.
But I've been seeing a lot of celebrities lately.
Really? Who have you seen now?
So I got another gig, another job at a
uh-huh.
restaurant. And last night they had a private party. And Ryan Felipe was there, which who cares, right? You know,
yeah,
whatever.
Who
he's
cares
okay.
about
he's okay.
Ryan Felipe?
But Eric Bana came, and I think Eric Bana is so fabulously sexy and magnetic and charismatic, and we did have a moment.
You have a moment with everybody.
I
you
am.
Know?
Either it's mutual or it's just on my
I think
end.
It's either, your mind.
Either
your
way,
mind,
either way, we there's a moment happening. I don't
uh-huh.
know. I don't know if he's in it with me, but it's enough for me is all I'm saying.
So what's a moment? Like a glance?
Well, okay, so he came in,
mm-hmm.
and I mean, I'm not delusional. I'm sure the guy, like, this is just the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I'm cherishing this moment. So he walks in, and we're kind of having like the little giggly, smiley thing. And then he asks about this area where he's supposed to go meet his party. He's like, are you lying or does this not exist? Or he didn't know where it was, and he was
mm-hmm.
making jokes that I was making it all up, that kind of thing. And I was like, no, I'm not. And then he turned around and like smiled and did some more of that.
Okay, you had a moment. All right. Well, we have a special guest in the studio we're going to bring in right now. Good morning to you, Allie.
Good morning, guys.
And I'm glad you made it here on time, despite the traffic
yes,
of
I
L.A.
Yes, I know, just barely.
Yeah. Are you new in L.A.? I mean, is the traffic something new to you?
I'm new in L.A., and I'm new. I just moved downtown.
Oh,
so
wow.
My whole area is skeezy. Like,
yeah.
I can totally
that's
relate
all
to
downtown.
Your, yeah, completely.
Okay.
Especially
why did you
night.
Pick downtown?
I just love the apartments, and
uh-huh.
I really... When I was looking, I kind of looked during the day
mm-hmm.
when it's not that bad.
Right.
And then when you go back at night, it's like night
really
of the living.
What,
air,
like
what area?
Right by, it's on South San Pedro between 4th and 5th. So it's like Skid Row. It's
really?
Pretty.
Oh, really?
It gets bad. It's
well, are you, you're not near like the 4th, the Art Walk, are you? Or like the Pete's Cafe and all that stuff?
I'm pretty close actually to Pete's Cafe.
Because that's kind of a cute area. But
right.
But it's downtown is kind of like one street over. It's kind of like
That's exactly it. Because you're driving to my place and it's like gorgeous, nice, beautiful, trendy. And then
mm-hmm.
it starts to feel a little unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you feel very threatened. And then you get to my place.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Very
goes.
Threatened.
Yeah.
Then. Bam. There you go. She's like, just go through the nice area. Area Pleasantville, then you're gonna get to uncomfortable, kind of unsafe, and then very threatened. Turn it very threatened, and there I am.
That's
yeah.
exactly it.
But
once
you know
you feel like your life is in danger, you've arrived.
Yeah. But you know what? Even the nice parts of town, of downtown, after 5 o'clock, there's nothing going on. I mean, the streets are like empty.
I
right?
don't know. Downtown's got more going on now than it used to. I don't know. So you're originally from where again?
I'm from Boston, but then I just moved from New York, so I was in New York for about 6 years.
Yeah, it seems like everybody on the East Coast ends up in New York, and then they move here.
Yeah, it's the progression.
Yeah.
So you went from New York, New York,
yes,
and then you moved here how long ago?
Almost like 7 months ago.
7 months ago. Okay, so you went straight from there to here, and you thought, oh, this will kind of work. But it's not like a New York, New York. Downtown.
No. Downtown. Well,
it's nothing like New York.
Nothing like New York. I mean, the only thing about it is that there's loft buildings.
Right.
So that part's kind of similar. Otherwise, it's not too similar, but it still has that feel, which is kind of comforting. Well, was until I realized kind of the nighttime situation.
Yeah.
Not
Did you live in the city in New York?
Yeah, but in New York, I lived in Harlem.
Oh,
so
wow.
I always kind of am in the sketchy neighborhoods. I don't know how that happens, but I seem to be attracted to skeezy areas.
You know your way around, girl.
I know.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I had one incident. It was in New York, but I had something stolen from a car. I didn't usually drive. I had to borrow a friend's car, and I had to go and look at the security camera footage that was in the parking lot. The security cameras don't help. It's like, if you have a camera now, it's so clear. It's like HD everything. You know, the security cameras have never been updated.
Right.
It's like a blob moving through the parking lot. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing's recognizable. So it wouldn't have helped you get your computer back, I'm sure.
No, you know, it's like, hey, if you run a red light, they're going to ticket you in a second. But if you actually have a crime that's been violated against you and,
they're never
going
to figure it out.
Yeah, I went back to that parking lot with a high heel in my hand. And it was like the kind that had been wore down, girl, where it no longer was rubber, it was just a nail.
Yeah.
I was ready to somebody up hardcore. I went around looking in people's cars. I'm serious. I did. And I saw this one dude. He was hanging out in his car with his window down. He's a Hispanic guy. He's like, yo. He's like, hey, what's up? I was like, hey, I'm looking for a laptop. My car just got broken into. You know anything about it? He's like, no. And I was like trying to like punk him a bit, you know. And then he like started helping me. He started helping me look for it and asking people. He was really nice, and I felt bad. He didn't know I went up there with it. I had like high heel ready to jack somebody up. You know what I mean? He turned out really nice.
I'm gonna use that in my neighborhood, or have you escort me home in my neighborhood?
Yeah. That's impressive. I had a friend. She went out in Hollywood one night. And East Hollywood's really rough, and her and her boyfriend got into a fight and broke up, and she's walking home from the club in her fishnets. She took off her high heels. Her hair's, like, melting down the side of her face, and she's crying and pissed. This guy tries to mug her, and she's like, not today, mother. You got the wrong girl. And she's like, hiya, hiya, hiya. Start hitting him with the high heel. He's like, you crazy bitch, and he ran off.
Those are my favorite stories. Mm-hmm. I love that.
She flipped the script is what I call it. She flipped the script. He's trying to mug her. He picked the wrong girl, and too much, you know, too much emotions going on, and she jacked him up with a high heel.
Mm. Nice.
That's the way to do it.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I love it.
And I had that anger. I mean, I'm over it now because, you know, you kind of have to move past it. But I was so angry that I didn't care how big the person was, how muscular, how, like, you know, possibly ethnically intimidating he could have been or she could have been. I was ready to do some damage.
I hope they have that footage of you
walking around
recklessly through the parking lot with your high heel ready to kill somebody.
I was so like, you know, like the chihuahuas whose bark is really big and doesn't
hurt.
Like, I was like, I didn't care because I would have, you know what I mean? I would have sunk my teeth into something. And that would have been it. Probably would have gotten hurt and killed, but I'd at least gotten a good lick in.
No, you would have scared someone out. I don't think anyone would have gone after you.
I was ready.
That would have been
I was ready for some UFC.
The right approach.
Some UFC stuff.
Yeah. Listen, we got a phone call here. We're expecting a guest. We're going to talk to her for a few minutes. And let's take the call. Good morning. This is Sam and Kara, and you're on the air. Hello.
Hello. Good to talk to you. My name's Sarah Meyer. I was scheduled to talk to Sam.
Yes, Sarah. Good morning to you. How are you doing this morning? I can't talk.
Very well, thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Sarah, are you calling us? Are you still in L.A.?
I am, yes.
Okay, because I know you're traveling.
Just in Studio City.
Yeah. So, now, Sarah, you're a co-founder of a foundation called the SENS, S-E-N-S Foundation. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, sure. So, SENS Foundation was founded just over a year and a half ago. And we're a California not-for-profit that's working on rejuvenation biotechnologies. It's a new way of looking at medicine, a way of looking at medicine that looks to repair the damage that happens to your body as you just go through life. In doing so, it tries to offer a comprehensive solution to essentially the diseases and the disabilities that happen as you age. It basically looks at aging as a collection of damage that builds up And it says, well, if we repair that damage, much in the same way as you keep your car running by just maintaining it,
right.
We can stop people from aging, from growing old and becoming frail.
Right. Wow. So you can actually keep people from aging. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, the underlying sort of premise of what we do is that by repairing damage, you can stop specific diseases or sets of diseases.
Right.
So for one example would be atherosclerosis, heart disease. You get a buildup in your arteries of gunk, essentially. And the approach we take is to say, well, what if we could help the body just intermittently repair that, remove that damage, remove that gunk? If we did that, we'd stop people getting heart disease.
Right.
And that would tick off one of the diseases. There are similar things for macular degeneration, which is a disease of the eye that causes blindness in a lot of older people, and other things that go wrong with the body. So our focus is very much on saying what we want to do is keep people healthy. But it's kind of a result of that. That if you keep people healthy enough, if you stop all the damage, then yes, you extend healthy life, which is the important thing.
Right.
So people live longer, but they live longer healthily and free from disease.
Right. So this addresses more the diseases that come from old age.
Yeah, in a sense, it's. There's a lot of buzz around, and quite rightly so, regenerative medicine at the moment, and the things that can do to help people, and essentially rejuvenation biotechnologies. What we're working on is an extension of that. It's saying that we can take these technologies, this type of medicine, and we can apply it to at the very deepest level of the body, inside the cells. And in the structures that keep the cells together, held together, and in doing so, we can address these diseases of aging as well as the other things that regenerative medicine is being used for. So it's a specific application in a sense, and a slight extension of the work that's currently going on.
Right. Now, have you applied this technology actually to people and were able to fight some of these diseases? Has it been successful?
No. I mean, as you know, regenerative medicine itself is does have applications in people. Our work is at very early stages. One of the reasons we're a not-for-profit is that we need to be able to work with a number of different organizations, a number of different, you know, we give grants to universities, but we also work with helping the pharmaceutical biotechnology business to understand what we're about. We need to be able to talk to governments in a way that, because what we need to do is pull people together behind this idea and take it forward. So we have a lab up in, it's in Sunnyvale at the moment, California, just moving to Mountain View. And there, and in the university departments where we provide funding for people, we're doing proof of concept work. We're doing the work in labs, in glassware on lab benches that says, we believe that, for example, you can introduce enzymes into the body that treat heart disease. And you don't want to just take our word for that because this is science. What you want us to do is be in a lab producing peer-reviewed papers that say, and look, we've tested this now in a lab. And it seems to work, and we go on from there to further trials. So it's early stages, but we're getting very, promising results in those early stages. The kind of interventions we're planning in the slightly longer term are viable and are going to provide these kind of solutions.
Yeah. Well, the goal here seems to make a lot of sense. You know, it's probably not going to be easy because I think people have been looking to stay young forever. Interesting. Now, how can people find out more about it? Do you have a website we can go to?
Yeah, absolutely. Our website is SENS.org. That's SENS.org. Mm-hmm. And if people go there, they'll get an idea of the work we're doing. And as you say, I mean, it's people have been looking for this kind of solution for a long time. You're right. I think that we have the luxury, I guess, of being at a point in time where medicine is catching up to that desire, where we can base work on really hard science to achieve it. And I think it's a very exciting time.
Yeah,
if,
definitely.
If your listeners want to find out more.
And it sounds very exciting. So everybody go to SENS.org, SENS.org, and Sarah, this is fascinating. We wish you all the best with this, and I'm sure we're going to hear from you again, making headway in this field. So, Sarah Marr, thank you so much, and everybody go and check this out, the SENS Foundation. Very interesting.
Thank you, Sarah.
Of course. Sarah, thank you so much, and all the best to you.
Absolute pleasure. Bye, Tom.
Thank you. Very interesting stuff. I mean, I'd like to stay young. Kara, what do you think
of
that?
What kind of enzymes do they have for, like, crow's feet and stuff?
I don't know.
Talk about that one.
Is that a disease, though?
Well, Sam, I mean, you know, it can be. And what about Demi Moore? I bet they've been testing on her.
You think?
Yeah, because she doesn't look very aged.
Really? Is she, like, wrinkle-free now?
Nobody's wrinkle-free, but she just, I mean, for her age, she looks pretty
She looks amazing.
Yeah. Although her hair is way too flat. She needs to get some layers in it. She does, like, long hair that's very, like, Pocahontas, but it looks too way down on her face.
I think it looks nice on her, though.
No? It's very glassy and very, like, pretty, but I'm just saying it's too flat.
Right. Now, what about this thing when they say that, what's his name? Her husband. What's his name again?
Ashton,
thank you. They say that they've seen him with another woman. Have you heard of that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but so. I mean, who cares? I'm not up on it.
I think his wife cares.
I think
they just went to go get their vows renewed, didn't they? They just went to Israel and renewed their vows.
I think they're on a big PR campaign now, though, because now everyone's just saying they have an open relationship, which probably is true.
I mean, in Hollywood, yeah.
Exactly.
I think they're probably like, hey, look, we're both really freaking hot, and we're really into each other right now, but I'm probably going to do a bunch of movies, and I'm really hot for my age, and you're probably going to have a lot of girls. Why don't we do this? Why don't you just, you know, at some point do your thing, I'll do my thing, but we still love each other. You know what I mean? Like, I think there's probably a lot of people in Hollywood that are like, I don't want to stop.
They would love that. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a dream.
I think that they just kind of got caught. I think it was like private and then they got caught and now they have to do this big hole.
But I wonder if there's a lot of couples in Hollywood that have very open relationships. I think they do. And then they have to play.
I don't know if they do, but those don't last very long, you know? I mean, they can't. They can't. People are like, eventually they look for that monogamy, I think. And I think it's just based on statistics that it doesn't work. I mean, you both have to be very open, very willing, very, you know, the types that don't get attached.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it seems too that it's that whole mentality of like everything is at your fingertips when you're at that level of
it's too
fame.
Accessible.
Everything's so accessible. And then you have like that thing where people get bored with everything because there's that like Stanley Kubrick like Eyes Wide Shut type of thing where they have the notion that everyone goes to these freaky parties that no one knows about and all this stuff's going on underneath the surface.
Right.
Which, I mean, I would believe it. I would believe anything. I'm easily swayed.
Well, you know, it's interesting as I always hope people aren't listening when I talk about it. Because I always
Why are you on the friggin' radio?
I know, but I gotta keep my mouth shut. But no, it's like I've been, I go out on dates occasionally or whatever, and I'm kind of like, I think it's like I have the idea that it's gonna be fun, but then I'm also kind of bored.
Yeah.
You know, I'm kind of like, kind of bored with it all.
Oh, all your poor boyfriends who are listening now.
No.
You're bored
it's
with what?
It's true, though. It's. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, after meeting Eric Bana and having a moment with him, I just don't think dating's going to be as fun anymore.
Everything seems like insignificant compared to that, huh?
Well, it's not that. I mean, I love meeting people and
it's less exciting.
It just seems like I kind of wonder where is this going to go?
Mm. Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, I don't know. Like I can sometimes get excited about going out and just having the experience and having fun. And then there's times where you're like, you know?
Yeah, totally.
It's that feeling of whatever. I don't know. Maybe I like a challenge. Maybe I like it to be, you know, I need him to be really, really unattainable. And I have to, you know, maybe that's exciting for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I understand that totally. And it's so funny, actually. I'm so jealous of your Eric Bana story because I've only seen one celebrity since I've been in LA, and it was Alan Thicke. Which is not
he saw yesterday. Huh?
And the funny thing is, one of my friends who was visiting was here for a week and said the only celebrity that she ran into was Alan Thicke.
Really?
I was like, what is she doing?
He's probably all over the place.
Right? That's funny.
He's the one guy trying to be seen while everyone else.
That's really funny. No, I've been running into a lot of them.
I know. I need to either open my eyes or go to new places to
Go to new places. I'll let you know afterwards. I don't want to say it on the radio. And I'm actually, I have certain girlfriends. I know they're not listening because they're still asleep and they never wake up ever. But that are little social climbers and just, you know, stars.
Yeah, you're forgetting people can listen after the fact.
Yeah,
you seem to forget that.
They're like stars in their eyes, and like as soon as they find out something cool is going on, they're going to go, they're going to be there, they're going to try to know everybody, that kind of thing. It's really it's really annoying, actually. But it's like endearing because they're very consistent with it. So I'm like not telling certain friends where this Starbucks is that I go to. Because I know they'll be there like every day.
She wants to keep it to herself.
Yeah. Because they'll be there every day going, yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, you're sitting there for the next moment.
No, I mean, I just go and do my thing, and I happen to run into them. I know this person will be there at a certain time and have it synchronized and run into them and then get invited to all their crazy parties and then have all the pictures on Facebook. Like, that's the kind of person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's never happened yet, huh? That you were invited to a party.
No. I've been invited to stuff, but you're missing my point. It's that there's a personality type out there. They call them star effers. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Is that what you are then?
I'm not talking about me, Sam.
Okay,
I'm talking about friends of mine.
Your friends.
That are people that will show up anywhere that there might be.
If you tell them that you met somebody or if you have something going on, they come in and they kind of cause like this.
Okay.
Do you not get this?
I do get it.
Okay, there we go. So that's why there's certain friends I'm, you know, keeping it more of a closed thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You on the same page with me?
Now, what about this restaurant? Do you think you're going to see a lot of stars there, a lot of celebrities?
I think so. I'm in it for the long haul.
Really? No, I mean, it's that kind of a restaurant?
Yeah, it is.
Good.
It's cool.
That is cool. You should make a lot of money in tips.
No, I'm not serving. I'm hosting.
Oh, you're hosting?
Which is actually good because I get to wear cute clothes.
Yeah, I was going to say that's supposed to be the best job in L.A.
But don't they divide the tips around for everybody?
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I mean, the hostess has to get something.
Well, do you get slipped tips to get, like, if it's packed and you can get someone a table if there's a wait? Do you get that kind of money?
You know what, guys? I don't know. I've worked there 2 days.
Oh.
So I'm learning it all and just kind of taking it in and seeing if it's going to work out or not.
Yep.
But we'll see. I'll let you know if, like, somebody's trying to, like, do the black market under the table kind of hostessing job. Because if I find out about a black market hostessing job, I'm on that shit. So don't worry. I will be like, hey, I'm driving a Porsche. Oh, I don't know. I just really saved my money. Like, you know what I mean? If that happens, you know, like, I'll let you guys know. You're like, damn, things are working out for Kara.
Yeah, no kidding.
Like, yeah, that hostess job, it's cool. It's supplemental in my big house in the hills.
So it's a pretty expensive restaurant?
Uh-huh. It's just like
you should strive to be a waitress.
Okay, Sam, let's get to the next topic. I'm probably not going to strive to be a waitress because it's fine dining. They'll fire me in 2 days.
Really?
You know what fine dining is?
Mm-hmm, torture. Mm-hmm.
I've never done it. I'm not the fit for that kind of thing.
Really?
Even if I tried really hard to do a good job at it, it's like you kind of have to know your strengths and weaknesses in life and go, you know what I mean? That's the kind of thing that...
So
it's
you think
like,
you're too much of a joker for that kind of...
I'm so messy. I'm so disorganized. I'm so... Like, not that... I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, I've served before, and I've done casual dining where it's funny, and you can do, sidewalk cafes and stuff, and I still get in trouble with these jobs. It's just my personality, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's casual, laid-back dining. It's like, how do you get in trouble? And I still get in trouble.
Yeah, when you try to get a moment with every celebrity...
I don't try, Sam.
No, I see. It just happens.
Yep.
It just comes.
Okay. Have you had moments? What about in New York? Have you seen any celebrities there?
I've seen more celebrities in New York, but I've never... celebrities in New York seem to be less accessible. Like, people just seem to want to be left alone and not do, not do the whole... So I've never gone up to anyone or paid attention to anyone. I've seen Kevin Bacon, I like him. He's tiny. There's so many people that I see that are tiny. I don't know if you've had that experience. Mm-hmm.
They're very underwhelming.
Yeah, it is.
It's very underwhelming, most of them, except for Eric Bana. Yeah, but
even though
he's taller than most of those kind of guys, he's like probably around like, I think maybe 6 feet or 5'10", 10 or something like that.
Okay, that still is taller.
That's exactly. Tall for... That's he's like maybe 5'10 or 11, and that's tall for...
A celebrity, yeah. For a guy. Yeah, because the other... Oh, you know who's tall, who I did see? This might be obscure. Now I can't even think of his name. Oh, Dylan McDermott.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember? Yeah. He's a tall... Yeah. He was a really good-looking guy. I don't even remember what he's on.
But he's taller.
If he's in anything. Yeah. Otherwise, this is the worst list of celebrity sightings. The only other one I remember is the guy who played Brandon from 90210.
Oh, do you know
Jason Priestley.
Yeah.
Is he also tiny?
Yeah, they're all freaking tiny.
Yeah, completely.
They're like compact.
Maybe they need to fit.
They're like little dolls.
No, TV is great. Even yeah, they always want tiny people. Like not just skinny, but like short, compact, small features. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Because the other, I saw Drew Barrymore, who's also tiny.
Yeah.
So I guess that matches up because she's smaller than her co-stars all the time, who are also tiny. I wasn't expecting her to be so little. But,
right. Yeah. So you're originally from Boston, right?
Yes.
How was that like? What was that like growing up there? Did you like it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It has kind of a weird reputation. People hate it. I mean, because I spent time in New York. New Yorkers hate it, especially.
Really?
Because of the sports rivalry. Yankees-Red Sox thing.
Yeah.
So I got some slack for it when I moved to New York. But
why did you move to New York?
At first, I got a job copywriting, so I moved over there. And Boston is known as a big city, I guess, but it's really small. I mean, there's not a lot to it. So once you grow up there, everyone moves out for a little while at least.
Yeah.
And New York's huge. So, So
you did some copywriting there?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was good. And then, eventually got into comedy.
And then you got tired of that?
Yeah.
Oh, you got into comedy there in New York?
Got into comedy in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is interesting, I guess, because there's a huge scene in Boston, but I wasn't part of it.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that got started in Boston.
Oh, yeah?
And then went to Montreal Festival through Boston. A lot of cool... He did really, really good there.
What's your friend's name?
Zach Sherwin.
Oh, I know Zach Sherwin. He's out in L.A. now, actually.
Yeah, he was on our show. He's a friend of mine. Yeah, he's really funny.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, he is. He's very, very funny.
Yeah, he said he just worked the scene there and worked out for him.
A lot of people, it's like a very tight scene. So if you start there, you kind of get embraced and do really well, which New York is a bigger, like more competitive arena.
Yeah,
so
well, it's just like L.A. if you're getting started here. It's like, good luck. You should...
Exactly.
It's better to be invited into the scene, you know what I mean? So you're doing stand-up?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Where are you doing gigs around town?
Yeah, mostly I've been at the Comedy Store, like the Ha Ha Cafe, a real crappy list of bars, and like...
You gotta do it, girl. You gotta pay your dues first,
exactly.
You know?
And like improv spaces, and then the occasional good show. Like it's some of the actual improvs, like in Brea and Irvine and Hollywood.
That's great.
I've done a few of those, which, is few and far between, but great when that occurs.
You gotta do it.
Yeah, so how did you discover you wanted to get into comedy? I mean, is it something you always wanted to do?
Yeah, I was... After copywriting, I just wanted to write comedy, and I did a lot of that, and then I was really into stand-up, but I didn't really think that I could do it. Like, I didn't think I had the guts to go up.
Really?
And then eventually you just get pulled in, I think. Like, I just really liked what I was writing enough that I was like, I don't want to give this away. I don't want someone else to.
Yeah.
And I tried, and you know, you have to start with, like, open mics and then go, and it's terrible. Like, I don't know how I got addicted, but I got addicted because it's such an awful
path. It's kind of a weird, torturous thing,
isn't
it? Oh,
completely. It's like masochistic, really.
I went to one audition one time. I do stand up. I went to one audition, and I remember, like, it didn't go well. Like, it wasn't... it went well in my mind, but it didn't translate. And I remember leaving, like, I can't believe I just put myself through this. Like, and then I left, and I was like, people don't understand the... It's not all the time, but it's like when you have that kind of... You leave feeling raped and naked.
Oh, completely.
And you're, like, walking off shuddering, and you're, like... you're alone in your car in a fetal position. You're like, I can't believe I do this. Like, I can't believe...
And you're like, that was a choice. Like,
that's exactly
my choice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a choice. You just...
you essentially waited in line for that experience. Yeah, it's really...
Yeah, you're like, wow. Thank you for giving it to me hardcore.
Yeah, those... It's so funny, though. The one thing that seems to be consistent with all stand-up performers is the one or two good shows that are really good will carry you for such a long time, because you'll get kicked in the teeth at some point. Like, there's no way...
Yeah.
Even the best few... If you have a good, you know, few months, you still have that big kick coming right in the face.
It's,
like, you're
going
to get knocked off it.
Well, everybody that's done anything in this... I mean, I think anybody that's done anything great in life, usually they've come up, you know, through the ranks and through the obstacles. And I know some of my favorite comics have... I mean, who hasn't bombed? You know what I mean? Like, even like celebrities that are great now. I mean, like, my friend saw Robin Williams just kind of grow up at UCB, and they're like, yeah, didn't do good. Which, who cares? He's Robin Williams. Like, he doesn't have anything to prove. But my point is like, you know, everybody kind of goes through those.
Yeah, you never know when you're going to make people laugh. I mean, even when you're a pro.
That's the funny thing about it, though. That's, it's reassuring and discouraging at the same time, because
you're like, you have it coming, girl.
Yeah, exactly. Because you'll see like a famous person who's amazing bomb, and you're like, oh, see, they bomb too, and they have this huge career. And then you're like, oh my god, it never ends. Like, even if I have a huge career, I'm still gonna be bombing and wanting to kill myself at the end of the night, you know? Yeah. So
but it's an adrenaline rush. It's kind of like some people like to gamble, some people like to do drugs. It's a Russian roulette. I'm gonna do stand up.
Exactly.
Roll the dice. You're like, what's it gonna be tonight? Oh, okay. Drunk person in the crowd wouldn't shut up. Awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you got started in New York.
Yes.
And then what? You ran out of ideas? I mean, why did you move to L.A.?
No, it was basically, it was a combination of things. It's kind of a pathetic reason. So I was dating someone in New York.
That's what I figured. I okay, a guy. And all then, right, go on.
And then it was funny. There was like a year-long period that we kept like, kind of breaking up, but we lived together, so it never really went through. Like, we would just end up still being together.
Right.
And then I had my sister and her husband moved out to Monterey, actually, with their kids, which is fairly nearby. I had other family that moved right into LA, and some of my good friends came out who got jobs out here. So I was like, you know what? I'll move to LA. I can really try to make this breakup happen, and I can try comedy out there. And right. You know, and it was winter. I was sick of the New York winters.
So you left.
So it was just kind of on a whim. It was like, yeah, I'll just go and check it out and see how it is. And it was a weird adjustment at first. I kept going back because I still had a lot more work in New York. So that kind of helped, because I would get like my fill of New York and then come back to L.A. And then I really started liking L.A. It finally caught on.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it's very interesting, because New York is so happening, you know, and L.A., there's not much. It's such a sleepy town, relatively speaking. That it's interesting, you know, that you were able to move from a happening place to a place that's not very happening. But you're right about the weather. I mean, you can't, you know, you can't beat that.
Yeah, but that actually hurts comedy sometimes, because in New York, you're always frustrated. Like, it's freezing. You're waiting for the subway. You're getting jostled by a thousand people.
Here, so you get ideas.
Like, yeah, you're always angry and you have things to, you know, joke about or yell. And here, you're like, the weather's always nice. The people are friendly. Everyone's laid back. It's like, you go up on stage and you're like, everything's good, actually. Yeah. I don't really have that much.
You get hung out at Starbucks for 4 hours a day, talk to this dude. You know, none of us are working, but it is good.
Exactly.
Life is good. Comparatively speaking, how do you like the comedy scene here versus New York? Different vibes, obviously, but what do you think?
It's a very different vibe. I don't know. It's too different to compare, because I've been to some, like, I actually, the club that I love most, which I've only been to once here, is Hermosa.
Yeah, the Comedy Magic Club.
Comedy, that one's fantastic.
That's the best club in LA.
It's so good. Some of the other ones, it's hit or miss. On any given night, you're going to have an awful time or you're going to have a great time.
Yeah.
But New York's kind of the same thing. I think the comedy is maybe a little more hard-hitting in New York. Like, people will talk about racial stuff or, like, more taboo topics. Here, the audiences seem a little more touchy. Like, they'd rather have, like, celebrity gossip, kind of, like, a little more topical stuff. But it's good either way. And here, you definitely have, like, if there's a celebrity drop-by in the New York clubs, it's kind of a big comic on the scene that a lot of regular people might not know of, who's amazing at comedy, though. And here, the drop-bys will always be maybe celebrities who aren't always great at comedy, but the people are just grateful to see them. Like, they're like, oh, this person's famous. Yeah. This is exciting. You know, that kind of thing.
It's like everybody's a comedian these days, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody's
it's very true.
So did the breakup work for you, or did he end up moving down here with you?
It's funny. It worked, but he's visited now a few times.
I'm sure.
So I still see him, but we're actually good friends, and we've remained broken up, so it's good.
That's good.
Yeah, it worked out so far.
Have you been dating here at all?
I have not gone on any dates out here.
Really?
Nothing.
Well, you're missing out on a lot.
Yeah, I don't know if
Kira
I am.
Will tell you.
Exactly.
Well, it's kind of fun, but then you're kind of like,
yeah.
You're not Eric Bana, so I don't know what to... I mean,
I'm ruined.
That's the problem, too. And I haven't even run into Eric Bana, and I'm already ruined. Like, it just sounds so unappealing going on a first day. We have to be like, and what's your favorite TV show? What, like, the contrived conversation. And,
yeah.
You don't like the small talk and that. Yeah. What about online dating? Have you tried that?
No.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe eventually. No, maybe I'll make my way to...
Yeah, then you get to define what you want.
Yeah.
You
don't,
well, just, I just don't have to,
right, you just put it all in.
Yeah.
I said, what was I talking to a guy friend of mine who's crazy, and he's like telling me things about women and dating, and this is what you need to do for this and this, and I said to him, like, as far as, like, he's like, if a girl says this, it turns this guy off, and da da da. He was giving me, like, his opinion on things that I didn't ask, but whatever, it was fine. I do that too. And cool, really cool guy, but I was like, look, you know, this may be a really big news flash, but not every woman strategizes each step she makes in order to attract you or a man. Like, she's maybe just a human living
right.
life.
Who actually wants to connect on a regular level.
Yeah, that maybe has goals, dreams, and just a human. Like, you know, not a feminazi necessarily, but somebody that just has their own plan. And if you happen to fit into it, great. But if not, next. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of a really egocentric way men think sometimes. Like, you know, oh, you need to be dating. Do this. No, do this. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. It's funny, like, the perspective, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's funny, too, because, like, all... When you see, like, men's magazines, it's there's all these topics. It's, like, you know, like, how to stay fit or cars or, like... When you see women's magazines, it's all, like, how to get your man. How to keep it... It's so insulting.
It's really... And like, it's really
how to
exhausting.
Have more orgasms.
Yeah, completely.
It's really, really exhausting. It's, like, the woman's definition and celebration is all about how she's perceived by the man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, like... Screw that. That's not fun.
Ugh.
Yeah. It's not fun, you know? I don't like it at all.
I don't either. And, yeah, half the time it's not worth it. This is, it sounds like an awful thing. Half the time it's not worth it. Yeah, there's not a lot of guys that you need to, that you want to change your personality, you know, that you want to be like, oh, how can I get this guy? You know?
Yeah, you got to up the ante.
Yeah.
You see, it's amazing what excites women, what excites men. You know, it's like, for me, it's not a celebrity thing, but like this morning, I'm sitting on the balcony having coffee and stuff, and this girl is walking her dog, and she's got a t-shirt with no bra on. And
gosh,
I mean, those are like perky things.
Oh, Lord.
With the... You know, the nipple's like pushing against the fabric, and I'm going, man, I can't forget this sight, you know?
See, that's the funny thing about
I mean, you see, she can't even handle talking about breasts because she's got major issues.
It's
anyway, go
that.
Ahead.
It's
that's hilarious.
Like,
I thought you were going to say she's got major breasts.
That too. But if you can't
sorry,
talk,
Kara.
If you can't
no,
talk
it's
about
like,
breasts, you've
it's
got
It's not
a problem.
The breast topic. It's not the breast topic. Anyway, continue. So
okay.
You're, so you got this dirty.
So to me, that's memorable.
Yeah.
You see, that stays with me the whole day, because it's a sight to behold.
But that's
you know?
The funny thing, too, that it doesn't even matter what we say. It's just like wear a shirt
really
with no bra.
It really doesn't.
Exactly.
Done.
And you do it, done. You know? It doesn't take a lot.
It really doesn't. Guys are so...
We're simple. We're basic.
So simple. Men are very visual. But I know guys that want... They want a girl with brains and personality.
Well, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, but
somewhat,
that's
but
down
I feel like
the road.
That's like,
I was that's like way down the road.
Fourth or fifth on the list.
It's like way down
like.
The road, too, right?
Yeah.
It's way down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're constantly on the chase, you know?
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah,
it's not
just,
easy.
But women have that more that reputation of like, oh, women are always out to get, like, they need to get a guy. They're constantly on the chase. I feel like men actually are more on the chase than women in a way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Every
oh, yeah.
day you probably see eight people that you're like, oh, you
yeah.
know, like the...
And, yeah, and I think the sexes chase different things, you know? That's the whole thing, you know? I mean, for you girls, it's a lot more, like, emotional and involved and, you know, and all that kind of stuff and romance. And for men, we're very simple, you know? It's just like, you know.
Just give me a nice visual.
Exactly, you know, whatever happens, happens, you know. But no, you have a serious problem there, Kara.
Okay,
I have
Sam,
to admit
you
it.
Write me a prescription.
I have to admit, if you can't hear somebody talk about breasts, you've got a problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Sam.
No, we really need to analyze you once and for all.
Well, I just think it's more of a, it catches me off guard coming from you. I don't know why it does catch me off guard, because I've been on the show for a long time with you. But it's like we're having girl bond, and then Sam jumps in, like we're all at a slumber party telling us what turns him on. And I'm always like, oh, okay, yeah, it's a masculine perspective. And it throws me off a bit.
And it's 100% different.
Yeah. It's 100% different, because he always goes into like some fantasy thing or whatever. And I'm always like, oh, yeah, okay. So it throws me off. It's not about breasts.
What's it about?
You weren't even listening anymore.
I was listening. It doesn't make sense.
It's just
it
a different...
He's still thinking of like, you know? Breasts. He still has no idea what...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're having a whole conversation about, no, it's so much deeper. It's like about a connection. And you're like, no, breasts. It's really about...
No, because we were talking about Eric Bana. That's what got me to it. Because the things that get you excited are not necessarily the things that get men excited, you know, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, if I saw the celebrity, I would not like suddenly like, you know, make all other women irrelevant. That's not the way it goes.
Well, I'm making a joke. You didn't pick up on that part.
No, I didn't pick up on the jokes.
But the part of it was,
yeah. Maybe your jokes are not that funny, Kira.
Maybe you just don't. Maybe you just don't like. You know, you need to like work on your receptors. They're like, you need to clean them out. Get them. Okay. Get a nice oil change in that those receptors. Because there's a lot of stuff you don't pick up on, but whatever. Anyway, and I know people do get it. So that's number one. But number two, no, I was making an illustration on how when somebody has so much charisma and they're, you know, they're in a different place where there's just such a confidence and there's a lot of talent, and then you meet like average dudes that are kind of like,
yeah,
and they're not unattractive. They're good-looking guys, but they're kind of like,
plus he came over and he was like joking and flirting.
Joking and flirting.
Like, that's such
it's kind of like meeting
so
like
cute.
A Robert Downey Jr. or something, where they're just boom, 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 and then there's just such
they're just
a
cool and
there's just such charisma, and then you meet like a normal dude that's
I don't
like,
see the charisma. I think you're confusing fame with charisma. You know?
No, I'm actually not. No, because there are guys that aren't.
These people don't have charisma.
Robert Downey Jr. Are you kidding me?
No, I don't know.
Oh,
have you ever
ask
met
her.
Him?
Yeah, I totally agree. He's full of charisma.
It's charisma.
Well, some people do. Yeah.
Johnny Depp. I mean, these kind of people have a certain kind of like. There's such a magnetic, charisma about them. And
like
then you know, there's people that aren't famous that have that too, but it's a little bit more few or far between.
And there's tons of people who are famous who don't have that.
Yeah, that
like,
don't
when
have
when you hear stories of people being complete dicks that all goes those are totally unattractive.
Like for example, Peter Sarsgaard, he's a great actor, doesn't have the charisma, you know, factor in my opinion that you would say like Robert Downey Jr., you know, Johnny Depp, that kind of, you know. He doesn't have that that like, you know, draws you to.
Yep.
You know, but great actor.
Yeah,
and he's
absolutely.
Famous.
Yeah, and there's a whole list. Of course, now I'm coming up with nothing, but there's plenty of people. There's more people who don't have that charisma that you would just see and be like, oh, there's...
Yeah, like Ryan Felipe was there last night, and he's a well-known actor. He's cute, whatever, nothing major, nothing that goes...
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So
what do you think when you see these guys? You think about marrying them and everything? I mean,
no,
you know, because a man would imagine them in bed together with them. So what do you imagine? I'm really curious.
Oh, it's just attraction. I don't imagine us even having a date. I don't think that happens, or it could happen. I mean, but I don't see it more. I don't really take it as much as
so
I come here.
So it's an attraction. I
yeah,
mean,
as,
do you
as
imagine
much as I come here,
like,
no,
in bed
as
with him?
No, Sam.
Okay.
As much
kissing,
as I
kissing,
no,
running
like,
on the beach.
No, with the horses galloping in the white
sand. Exactly.
No, it's not. I mean, as much as I say we have a moment that's for humor purposes, I can't believe I have to break everything down. But anyway, once again, here's the breakdown. It's more the fact that it's fun and it's exciting. I don't really internalize it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really think of them doing me or, you know, or us having some long conversation over flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for girls, it's more like having a cute flirt. It's like if someone flirts with you, you're like, oh, like it
it's
just feels
fun.
Good and it's fun.
It's exciting.
And I don't ever, you don't usually, like, you don't take it to like, oh my God, I want to, you know.
Yeah, marry
you.
Okay, well,
yeah.
What can I
Wait,
say?
Do guys ever have that phase? It's always just getting into bed? Or
I think it's for men,
that,
it's always sex.
No, but some men, I hear, like, the moment they meet a woman, they're already, like, married to her, you know?
Really?
Yeah, some guys are like that.
Really?
You know? And women complain about it.
I've not heard that.
No? Yeah,
men
some
that are
guys
like,
already
planning
become,
the wedding and stuff.
They become possessive right away. And
I could see that. I see men that can get jealous or possessive or territorial, but not normally are they going straight to wedding bells and like, oh, I just think of her and I think of like long walks on the beach. It's usually sexual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And I feel like for guys, yeah, the possessive is just not wanting to share. It's like less just wanting. Yeah. This sounds like such a bad perspective on guys, but like not just like, oh, I need to marry this girl, but more like, yeah, I need this girl to not have anybody else.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. All right, well, we are out of time. Allie, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks so much for having me.
Do you want people to find you, website, anything? Or
yeah,
anything?
Right now I don't even have, just on Facebook. You can find me under Allie Breen.
Okay.
And yeah, that's
how
probably
do you spell
it.
Breen?
Oh, it's actually, the whole thing is A-L-L-I and then B-R-E-E-N. B as in boy.
That's like green, but with a B.
Simple yeah, exactly. Yeah. Simple enough.
Tomorrow,
yes.
I'm taping a thing at the Ice House in Pasadena.
Wow.
7 o'clock. So come.
Really?
So if you want to come, come.
Okay.
But you need to come to the... And then I do a Pretty Funny Woman at the end of the month, October 28th.
Right.
Go to my Facebook. I'm going to put it up again. But if you want to come, but you need to come both. You have to come to one at the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
But if you come to the one tomorrow, you still have to come to the one at the end of the month.
I see.
Don't
okay.
think it gets
so
you
it
out
doesn't
of it.
Get me out of it.
I'm
okay.
talking to Sam specifically.
I understand. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you all for joining us. We'll be back here tomorrow.
Been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and originates from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. For questions regarding the show or to learn more about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondents to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.